5. Who is the dark-haired one?
Do you really think anyone will come? Ellen asked nervously, turning to Anne-Marie in the bedroom.
Your father doesn't think so.
Of course not. They're always threatening stuff. They just like to scare people.
Anne-Marie took her nightgown from a hook in the closet. Anyway, if they did, it would give me a chance to practice acting. I'd just pretend to be Lisa. I wish I were taller, though. Ellen stood on tiptoe, trying to make herself tall. She laughed at herself, and her voice was more relaxed.
You were great as the Dark Queen in the school play last year, Anne-Marie told her. You should be an actress when you grow up.
My father wants me to be a teacher. He wants everyone to be a teacher, like him. But maybe I could convince him that I should go to acting school.
Ellen stood on tiptoe again and made an imperious gesture with her arm. I am the Dark Queen, she intoned dramatically. I have come to command the night.
You should try saying, I am Lisa Johansson, Anne-Marie said, grinning. If you told the Nazis that you were the Dark Queen, they'd haul you off to a mental institution.
Ellen dropped her actress pose and sat down, with her legs curled under her on the bed.
They won't really come here, do you think? She asked again.
Anne-Marie shook her head.
Not in a million years.
She picked up her hairbrush.
The girls found themselves whispering as they got ready for bed. There was no need, really, to whisper. They were, after all, supposed to be normal sisters, and Papa had said they could giggle and talk. The bedroom door was closed.
But the night did seem somehow different from a normal night, and so they whispered.
How did your sister die, Anne-Marie? Ellen asked suddenly.
I remember when it happened, and I remember the funeral. It's the only time I have ever been in a Lutheran church, but I never knew just what happened.
I don't know exactly, Anne-Marie confessed. She and Peter were out somewhere together, and then there was a telephone call that there had been an accident. Mama and Papa rushed to the hospital, remember? Your mother came and stayed with me and Kirsty. Kirsty was already asleep, and she slept right through everything. She was so little then. But I stayed up, and I was with your mother in the living room when my parents came home in the middle of the night, and they told me Lisa had died.
I remember it was raining, Ellen said sadly. It was still raining the next morning when Mama told me.
Mama was crying, and the rain made it seem as if the whole world was crying.
Anne-Marie finished brushing her long hair and handed her hairbrush to her best friend. Ellen undid her braids, lifted her dark hair away from the thin gold chain she wore around her neck, the chain that held the Star of David, and began to brush her thick curls.
I think it was partly because of the rain. They said she was hit by a car. I suppose the streets were slippery, and it was getting dark, and maybe the driver just couldn't see.
Anne-Marie went on, remembering.
Papa looked so angry. He made one hand into a fist, and he kept pounding it into the other hand. I remember the noise of it. Slam, slam, slam.
Together they got into the wide bed and pulled up the covers. Anne-Marie blew out the candle and drew the dark curtains aside so that the open window near the bed let in some air.
See that blue trunk in the corner, she said, pointing through the darkness. Lots of Lisa's things are in there, even her wedding dress. Mama and Papa have never looked at those things, not since the day they packed them away.
Ellen sighed. She would have looked so beautiful in her wedding dress. She had such a pretty smile. I used to pretend that she was my sister, too.
She would have liked that, Anne-Marie told her. She loved you.
That's the worst thing in the world, Ellen whispered, to be dead so young.
I wouldn't want the Germans to take my family away to make us live someplace else, but still, it wouldn't be as bad as being dead.
Anne-Marie leaned over and hugged her.
They won't take you away, she said. Not your parents either. Papa promised that they were safe, and he always keeps his promises. And you are quite safe here with us.
For a while, they continued to murmur in the dark, but the murmurs were interrupted by yawns. Then Ellen's voice stopped. She turned over, and in a minute, her breathing was quiet and slow. Anne-Marie stared at the window where the sky was outlined and a tree branch moved slightly in the breeze.
Everything seemed very familiar, very comforting.
Dangers were no more than odd imaginings, like ghost stories that children made up to frighten one another, things that couldn't possibly happen. Anne-Marie felt completely safe here in her own home, with her parents in the next room and her best friend asleep beside her. She yawned contentedly,
and closed her eyes. It was hours later, but still dark, when she was awakened abruptly by the pounding on the apartment door.